This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Lone Ranger Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 5th, episode 695, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Lord, I love that feeling down at 5 o'clock, it's so long. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, but the juice in my truck, I'm heading to town.
Well, happy Friday morning, everybody. We're glad that you're here. Jamie, I'm glad you're here. Do you remember how to do really bad ads? Did you practice this morning, you know, take some deep breaths, all of that?
I don't know. I think I can get through it. I'll try my best.
I mean, your Southern accent, we missed that. You know, Wendy did a good job with really bad ads, but we missed your Southern accent. None of us can do it like you do it.
Oh, well, I'm not that great at it, but that will never go away. So I've got that forever.
Yeah, you were born with that one. Well, we have a lot of fun stuff today. We're going to talk a little bit later because Jennifer and I went out yesterday and made our way through the throngs of people, the most people I've seen at the movie theaters probably in 20 years seeing the various movies. And we're going to talk about the Lone Ranger a little bit later. Hopefully we'll get some callers to any of our listeners who went out and saw it. Give us a call maybe about 20 minutes at 347-637-3238. We'll try and keep it spoiler-free, but do our review of The Lone Ranger. We've only been talking about this movie, Jamie, I think for about a year.
I know. We've been really looking forward to this more than most, simply because, first of all, it's a Western. It's a Lone Ranger. And who did not love The Lone Ranger when, you know, I obviously watched reruns. You probably watched it as it was starting.
No, not quite.
We did your 95-year-old mom. And we all loved it. I mean, Hi-Ho Silver. My sleeping bag that I had as a kid was a Lone Ranger sleeping bag.
Really?
Because it had a big white horse on it. Yeah. And so we've been tracking this. I mean, it's Johnny Depp. It's Armie Hammer. It is awesome. So we thought, now you have seen it. I have not. So you are not allowed to ruin it for me. Do you understand, Jennifer?
And Jennifer so wants to ruin it, too, because she's so excited.
What? Me?
Do you know the Lone Ranger?
Exactly.
Do you remember back in the 60s, they were very popular, was the metal lunch boxes that kids would take to school, and they always had, you know, some TV show or something on them. Well, the Lone Ranger,
yes!
The Lone Ranger lunch boxes are some of the most valuable now from back way back when.
If only we'd have kept things like that. Dang it.
I know. And not beat the hell out of them. That's the other thing. And, you know, you're going to see a whole new line of merchandise after this, Lone Ranger. There'll be some new Lone Ranger lunchboxes, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely. John. Well, don't ruin it. Just hang in there. We're going to do your review here coming up in a minute. But, Jennifer, what is on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday Edition, the Flake Report makes a magnificent return today as the Lone Ranger is put into the review machine, and then it's headlined all over the place, with some of them certainly Oscar-worthy. And Really Bad Ad takes us into the weekend with a bang. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And let's do our daily winnies. Well, my daily Winnie has two sound files I have to play for it, so let's play them. All right, regular listeners to the show will know exactly what that was for. That was for my our dog Glory's birthday was yesterday. We don't know exactly when she was born because she was a stray, but we got her on July 4th. So we always call that her birthday. And she hates her birthday, to be honest with you, because she hates loud noises. She hates gunfire. She hates fireworks. So she spends the entire day as a little puddle of goo in her thunder shirt hiding in her house, which is pretty much what she did all day yesterday. Poor thing.
Oh.
Terrified.
Isn't that awful?
Just.
Well, you got her on July 4th. See, the same thing happened to me last year when I actually picked up Edward, my racehorse, so off a track guy, and brought him home. And it was getting dark as we brought him home on July 4th. And I swear he thought we must have taken him to a missile
Jeez,
range.
Poor
guy. He go, where the hell did I just get adopted to? Like, this place is awful. You know, this is going on all over the country. But he only thought it was our house.
Well, you know,
that poor dog.
We weren't warned about the dog when we got her. So, you know, we have her home. And in Lexington at that time, they had just made legal the big, huge fireworks. Anybody could set off any kind of firework. And around our house the entire night, there were fireworks everywhere. I mean, the big ones. And this dog was a total mess. We thought we got a lunatic. You know, this is our first day with her. And she was a puddle of goo the whole day. It was like, oh, man, this is going to be awful. So we were thinking...
We should not be able to adopt animals on July 4th. I mean, poor... Imagine what she thought. She's like, where the hell am I?
Why'd you bring me here? I escaped from this before. That's why I was astray. But, you know, and then her name... She came with Glory as her name. And neither one of us really liked the name Glory. But we got her on July 4th and her name was Glory. What were we going to do, you know? You can't not.
Yeah.
So that's how she kept the name Glory. All right, your turn. Happy birthday, Glory. She's sitting right under my feet. So a little quieter this morning.
Well, I guess we kind of have the same theme. Last night around 11 o'clock, my daily winning goes out to the very sweet, sweetheart neighbors that I really didn't know, but apparently they've driven by my house enough to know that we have Joy, this really old one that we adopted from the sheriff's department, really old dog. She is a Australian shepherd, and she's really old, she's really crippled, and somebody pulled up into our driveway and knocked on her door at 11 o'clock last night.
Oh, doesn't that freak you out? Ugh.
Oh, my God. Somebody bang on your door. And we live on a farm. Like, nobody knocks on our door ever, much less 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh, my God. Chad's like, what the hell? So he goes out and answers the door. And these very sweet neighbors had found an exact replica of Joy wandering the streets at some point around 10:30 last night and brought this dog straight to my house because they thought, well, I've seen her have a dog like that. And... last night, apparently today, is the highest day of animals being dropped off at the whatever, the pound or whatever, because of all the strays that have been lost from all the fireworks yesterday.
Oh, geez.
So just keep in mind, if you've lost your dog, go to the pound, go on a Craigslist, go wherever you need to go, because today is the highest day of animals getting dropped off because there's so many strays last night. And these dear, sweet people found this stray old Australian shepherd who looked just like my dog wandering the streets last night, freaked out, panting, you know, going like totally spazzing from all the fireworks. And of course, you know, there are rednecks everywhere, and here in Arizona, rednecks shooting off fireworks until midnight on the streets in my neighborhood. So these animals were so freaked out, including all of mine in the house. So he knocks on the door. He's like, hey, I've got your dog. And Chad's like, no, all our dogs are in the house. He's like, no, they're not. I've got your dog.
He was pretty convinced.
Chad turns around. He's like, yeah. And he was like, all I can hear is Chad going, no, you don't. 1, 2, 3. They're all right here. No, you don't. And the guy's like, I have your dog. And so Chad's like, Jamie, come here. So I have to go out to the truck. And I'm like, oh, my God, that looks just like my dog. But it wasn't my dog. So... sweet people, they took him home, and they're going to try to find a home today. But anyway, just be careful with your pets or if you've found any, or if you've lost any, there might be strays out there. So do the right thing. Pick them up. Help them find their home. They're just lost. They just ran away from the fireworks like Glory wanted to do when she came there for the first time.
And by the way, I'm warning anybody that comes back to our house at the end of the road, you know, behind a gate. If you knock at a door at 11 o'clock, I'm greeting you with a gun. I'm just saying, just to be clear.
Yeah, well, don't think that Chad didn't have a baseball bat in his right hand behind the door.
But
you know what? People that are going to steal from you are not going to knock, okay?
That's true. That is true. Well, we have just one quick announcement for the weekend. I wanted to remind everybody that the Gettysburg Battlecast is going to play on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the live video from Pickett's Charge at the Gettysburg's 150th reenactment, Civil War reenactment. It's this reenactment's been going on now since Wednesday with over 40,000 reenactors, 800 horses, and they've had upwards, I read this morning, now they're rounding it out and they're saying that they probably are going to have around 225,000 people that came out to watch it. And the weather hasn't been great. These poor guys sleeping out in their camps and their canvas tents and their wool outfits have been getting rained on a lot. So it's probably a muddy mess as well. But you can watch all of it on our website at horseradionetwork.com. It's $12.99 for a pass for 4 months, which means you get the recorded version. Plus, they have several of the other battles they're going to put up there that they've taped. So you'll be able to watch those as well. It's called The Battlecast, and you'll be able to watch it at horseradionetwork.com on Sunday. Just go to our website, the big banner in the middle of the page. I've already paid. I'm ready. We're having a Gettysburg party here on Sunday. So we'll be watching it live here. Just wanted to mention that. Okay, you know, one thing we haven't been able to do in a long time together is the news. And we do have a little bit of news here. You know, one of the things we haven't been able to do in a long time is talk about places that are up for sale. Well, there is one coming up for sale in Virginia. If guaranteed nobody going to knock on your door in this place, because the house sets back a long lane on a 394-acre horse farm in Virginia. That's a big farm. It has an 1800s manor house and expansive world-class equestrian facilities. Get this, it has an Olympic-size indoor and outdoor covered arenas, a multitude of paddocks,
oh my God,
miles of riding trails, a pool, orchard, and more. It has a manager cottage, of course, because you can't run this place by yourself. It's nestled in prime horse country near Charlottesville in Virginia, which, if anybody's been there, is absolutely beautiful. The auction it's going up for auction on July the 24th. Let me see what else I can tell you about this place. The manor sits among established oak trees on a hill, providing expansive views of the farm from every angle. It's a 6,000 square foot house. It was renovated in 2009. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. It has three barns on the property and the barn aisle is something to die for. This is just unbelievable. The main barn was built in 2007 and is 6,700 square feet. It is just gorgeous with the lacquered stalls and the wide aisleways. The aisleway must be 20 feet wide. And then they have two other barns, too. They have the indoor arena. They have custom bridle and saddle racks, a rider's lounge, bathrooms everywhere, a laundry room in the barn. Just absolutely out of this world. And then the two other barns, too, aren't too shabby. So this is a nice place. I think you could probably keep some horses there.
Oh, my God. This place is amazing. Amazing. I mean, really just cool. Every upgraded detail you can imagine on a farm. Like you said, the barn aisle, it's that interlocking rubber brick footing.
Yes.
Ridiculous. The footing for the arenas is that footing where they do, like, sand, sawdust, and calcium chloride. That is combined with a bluestone base, providing little need for watering. It also keeps the dust down. But I've never even heard of calcium chloride sand and sawdust being a footing, but maybe it's just too fancy. That's why I've never heard of it. It includes 4 miles of wood fencing and cement walls.
Yeah, four
That's
miles.
That's ridiculous. See how much it costs? 4 miles of fencing. So what I want to know is, but what was this place? You know, was it a thoroughbred breeding farm? Was it?
It doesn't really say. It's called Ashanti Farm. That's all it really says. You know, it really doesn't talk about the previous owners or everything or anything either. It was a working farm at one time, obviously. But I don't know exactly what it was. It is on the National Register of Historic Places as well. But really cool place.
Okay, it says here, I just Googled Ashanti Farms, and it's ashantifarm.com. And would you say this place was in Virginia?
Yep.
Okay, it says Gordonsville, Virginia, breeding and dressage training facility. They had stallions, broodmares, foals, classical dressage facility.
Yeah, you can make this into a classic. Oh, what?
On their website, dear friends, customers, blah, blah, blah. We, after having served the dressage community over 15 years, have decided to sell the farm. It's on their website. Sorry.
We're done. We're out of here. Bah, can you imagine what this is going to go for? I'm going to make a guess. I am predicting it's in Virginia, so it probably won't go as high as some of them. I'm going to say $2.3 million. That's my guess.
Oh, it's got to go for more than that.
Do you think?
It's not in foreclosure, so I don't know. The structures have got to be that much money.
True. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, before we start talking about the Lone Ranger, a couple other things. I had to talk to you about this story because it's our kind of story. And it's not. Well, let me ask you. If I tell you about a story about a guy who's going to a dance, a rodeo dance, and he decides to take all his friends with him, and he doesn't want them to drive in case they get drunk at the rodeo dance, and he puts 54 of them in his horse trailer to cart them there, where would you say that would have happened?
Texas.
Or? Come on, where'd you grow up?
I don't know. You want me to start ripping on the South? I'm not going to rip on where I came from.
Or Georgia. I would have guessed Georgia would have been my first guess here. No, Ontario, Canada.
right there, that's funny.
Well, they're all nice up there. And apparently, this guy was just driving to the party, you know, going to the dance. And he had his, by the way, how do you fit 54 people in a horse trailer? He had his 54 friends in a horse trailer, no alcohol in the truck, no alcohol in the trailer. Apparently, this was clean as a whistle. He was just taking him to the dance. And the cop pulls him over and discovers all these people. And the cop was not happy that he was carting all these people around in his horse trailer. So he gave him a $110 fine, and this was under the Highway Traffic Act for drawing an occupied trailer. Well, now, aren't most trailers occupied when you draw them, when you pull them down the road?
Yeah, they mean people, but, like, seriously, $110 divided by 55, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's a bottle of beer.
Everybody give me $2. That's you got a pack of Bud. So, that's funny. Then he didn't mind. And they got there free and clear.
That's right. I got to tell you, we've done some crazy stuff when we had our farm. We used to cart people around. We did some crazy things. So, but I don't know how you fit that many people. That must have been a big trailer, fit that many people in a trailer. And they're
that's
not that
awesome.
Comfortable to ride in.
So I'll stand up. Hold on.
Now, one other story before we get to our Lone Ranger review, because we actually have a caller, a listener on the line that wants to talk about it. Went out to see it. You know how everybody always accuses Americans of being the fattest in the world, and there's no, you know, the way they make it sound, there's no fat people in any other country but America. Well, that ain't true, because in the Netherlands, three people were arrested in the Dutch town of Groningen on animal abuse charges over a video that shows an overweight woman sitting on a pony. The two 57-year-old men and the one 58-year-old overweight woman was arrested Wednesday after a video of the woman posted online went viral. See, that's the problem. You can't put these videos online because somebody's going to find them. The video showed an overweight woman sitting on a Shetland pony. The woman stays on the pony after it collapses under her weight. One of the men is the owner of a video production company that made the film. Police say they have not ruled out making more arrests. So good for them.
That woman needs to have a car strapped to her back and beat her with a whip. How dare somebody do that to a poor little pony?
I agree. I'm with you. But, and good for them for, you know, for the police actually doing something about it. Good for them.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Hey, I got a baby crying. You guys talk to Robert and get the review. I'll be right back.
All right. Jamie's going to take care of babies. Well, Jennifer and I got a chance to go see The Lone Ranger yesterday. We're going to talk about it. Now, we have to keep it spoiler-free because virtually nobody in the audience probably has seen it yet. Everybody's planning on it this weekend. But we have Robert on the line from Arizona who went out to see it. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Glenn. And even though Jamie ran off to take care of the baby, good morning, Jamie. Good morning, little Luke. Jennifer, everybody, how you doing?
Good. Now, you went out on opening day. You braved the crowds. Was the theater full?
Well, out here where I live, it's kind of in the sticks, and I figured as early in the morning as I went, it wouldn't be too crowded. The theater was, I would say, a little over half capacity for that time of the morning. And it wasn't that bad. And it's rare I actually go to a movie on opening day, so I was excited to see this one.
Well, same with our theater. It was a little over half full. Now, they were running at the theater here in Ocala. They were running shows every half hour. There were like 14 showings yesterday, and they were running them back to back to back. So, and the theater itself, I mean, there are a lot of people there. That was the fullest I've seen a theater in a long time. So now tell us if you can give us your, you'll be the first one to review here, Robert, but keep it spoiler free. What'd you think?
Well, I really enjoyed it. As a kid, you
That's
know,
good,
we're
Robert,
about the same age.
If you did, we were going to hang up on you.
I'd hang up on me too if I didn't enjoy it. I'm sorry, you don't hang up on me anyway sometimes, but let's see. As a kid, Glenn and I, we're about the same age. I grew up watching the old Lone Ranger reruns, and so when the movie was coming out, I was really excited to see it, and I've always liked Johnny Depp's twist on some of the characters he plays. So, overall, I would, you know, you guys do a 5-flake rating, right?
Yep.
Okay, I would probably give it a 4, 4.5. It was thoroughly enjoyable, kept you entertained, the action was good. A couple of the, let's say, geographical inaccuracies on it is about the only complaint I had about the entire movie.
Yeah, and see, you know the Midwest and the Southwest better than we do, so probably that meant more to you than it did to us because it just looked like all pretty scenery for us, you know? So,
hey, guys. I have a comment about that for you. I've been watching a lot of John Wayne movies, Robert, and I love the fact that every John Wayne movie they say takes place in Texas, and every single one of them are filmed in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, filmed right down there. Around
Monument
Tucson.
Valley. Yeah, or Tucson or Monument Valley. I'm like, oh, my God, seriously, Texas doesn't have rock formations.
Yeah. No, they've got the old Tucson Studios down there near Tucson, which they do a lot of the filming at. I believe that's where you and your father went.
Well, my dad went there. The Rio Bravo was filmed there, and so that was the one.
And then they have done some filming down in Tombstone, but yeah, Arizona gets used to represent a lot of states. What can we say? We're the best.
I know, right?
Yeah, she wasn't so happy with it the other day when it was 120 degrees. She wasn't saying nice things about Arizona that day. Just saying.
Well, she didn't get 100.
I'll tell you what, really, Jennifer had a pretty good review after we left the movie yesterday, so we'll get to hers here. But one of the things I was truly impressed by was Bobby Lovegren's, and we're going to play the interview that we did with him. He was the head wrangler for the movie, and trained all the horses. We're going to replay that here in a couple of minutes, but so people missed it, they can hear it. His training of the horses were so well trained, and I have never seen white horses like that. I know he said they didn't do anything to those horses, but I swear they dumped a pile of baby powder on them because they were glowingly white.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how white they were. This is beautiful. That was just the way the horses acted in every scene, and especially knowing some of the background of some of the scenes, how they filmed them. I think the horses did a better acting job than the actors.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Yeah, some of the acting wasn't the best in this movie, but it was made up for with action and just over-the-topness. Now, for all the Johnny Depp fans out there, I would say, and I don't know if even Jennifer agrees with this, but I would say Johnny Depp, once again, just being himself, stole the show. He really did, in my opinion.
Oh, yes, I think so.
Yeah, he's on the screen. He just steals the show. He's one of those performers that when he's there, you're going to have a tough time. Now, Armie Hammer did a good job. Jennifer, what do you think? What's your thoughts?
I think that I agree. Depp steals the show, but Johnny does need somebody to play off of, and I think he plays off of Armie Hammer really, really well. I think he played off of him better than he plays off of his cohort in the Pirates movies.
I agree with that. Yeah. Well, I know you're heading to work, Robert, so we'll let you go. Thank you so much for giving us a call.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day, and I know Jamie's on an inside scoop on something with me, and maybe next Friday we'll have another announcement to make.
Oh,
yay!
Cool. Very good. Well, thanks, Robert.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay.
Bye, Robert.
We'll talk to y'all
soon.
Later. What, Jamie?
Oops.
I said we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thanks, Robert, for calling in. We appreciate that. Yeah, this was a good movie. I mean, Jennifer, you gave it how many flakes? If we have 5 flakes in a bale, we'll use Robert's flake method here. What do you say?
My official rating is a full bale.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. I would have probably been with Robert at 4, 4.5, just because not all the acting was great. I actually like the woman who played the main character. She was really good. I forget her name, but I've seen her in other stuff. But it was, you know,
Helena Bonham Carter.
There you go. And she was really good in this movie. I think you're going to like it, Jamie. It's a movie we can agree on, I think.
Okay, well, that would be a first. So what I'm thinking is, you guys like it so much, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to be like, that's the worst crap I've ever seen.
You know, one of the things I did, because we had done this interview with Bobby Lovegren, one of the things I was constantly watching for was what the horses were doing. And they had 4 different horses that played, you know, the headliner. And that horse, you know, those horses were incredibly trained. I'm interested. One of the reasons we're replaying his interview today, for those that didn't hear it, or for those that did, is you're closer to seeing the movie now. Now that I've seen the movie, I want to hear him talk about it again. Because now we've seen what the horses can do. There were a couple of scenes, and I'm not giving any spoilers, that I went, after the movie, we went, why'd they even put that in there? You know, it was typical. You know, there's just some scenes that they probably had to cut down to nothing. And you go, it just made no sense. But it's going to be a different Lone Ranger for you. That's all I'm going to say. It was different than I expected.
The LA Times says that Silver steals the movie. Is that true?
Definitely. Definitely. I would say he's even above Tonto. Yes. Definitely,
wow.
Definitely. Yeah, he comes in.
At acting school. Yeah.
He had all the comedy lines.
Wow.
This is a movie about a horse and 2 guys. That's what the movie's about. So I think if you're a horse lover, you're going to like this movie. Well, there's a scene that you're going to find disturbing, but I'm warning you ahead of time.
Okay, stop talking about it. Play the interview, for God's sake. You're going to ruin it.
All right, here we go. We're gonna do our commercial first for Kentucky Performance Products. And then we'll play the interview we did with Bobby Lovegren, who was the head trainer for the horses. And you know what? I can't find my commercial for Bob. And I know I uploaded it. for Kentucky Performance Products. We're going to play the commercial after the interview with Poppy Lovgren. So here, let's take a listen. Now, it has the trailer at the beginning, so if you're wondering what's going on, and we did this one about, 6 weeks ago? So here we go.
God, look at you, city boy. Why would you ever want to come back here?
It's my home.
Little brother, I hereby deputize you a Texas Ranger.
Stance.
To the outlaw, make no mistake, law and order has come to the West.
It's a nice hat, by the way. Didn't have a bigger one?
Give me your hand! No!
From the great beyond, a vision told me a great warrior would help me on my quest.
One who has been to the other side and returned.
All I know is that a man killed my brother.
If we ride together, we ride for justice.
Justice is what I seek.
Let's do this. Looking for a man.
He was in about a week ago. Paid me over this.
You find traitor. You find the man who killed your brother.
I want to show you something.
What could you buy with all that?
A country, Captain.
Who controls the railroad? The cavalry. Everything. If these men represent the law, I'd rather be an outlaw.
That is why you wear the mask.
It was a ranger riding a white horse. Got some lunatic Indian with him. They come for you.
Scared, aren't you? You should be.
Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jamie?
Fantastic. It is an honor to talk to you because I am such a huge, huge fan of your work and your standards for safety. Tell everybody what you do, because I'm trying to describe you. On IMDb, they have you as a horse trainer, animal wrangler, horse master. I would consider you a horse whisperer. What do you consider yourself?
really, it's more, obviously, I am an animal trainer, basically, because I do try to do more than just horses, but most of the time, in my expertise really is in the horses, but I would more class myself as an animal coordinator trainer. You get all of the different names, horse master, and that when you go to different countries and places, the job title is different and that, but it's all the same thing.
So how does one get into this job that you have?
Anymore, it's a very difficult thing because, the animal work has gone, they just don't do that much horse stuff anymore, with Westerns, had gone away and they only do a few a year. So it is very, very selective and very small, and then also the majority of our work, you have to be in the union, the Teamsters Union, to work as well, so you'd have to get into that. And then also, it's difficult to find some way to learn and get the experience to go and work in this business.
Yes, so I was wondering if you were accepting any interns, and I will be there in 20 minutes.
it's funny, I get that so much, and it's very difficult to explain to people, that really, it's because of the union and stuff like that, you can't just have anyone be your intern. You have to first be, basically in the business and have the experience and stuff. And then you can be, a person can be an assistant or however.
Right. Well, we're going to get to your movie that you're currently promoting right now, which is The Lone Ranger, which we have played the trailer for so many times on our show because it just looks and sounds so amazing. But I want to know, back to how you get into this. How did you learn to train horses like this? I mean, some of the movies, of course, we've all seen War Horse, Cowboys and Aliens, we've talked about, Seabiscuit, Zorro. I mean, one of the most fantastic black horses I've ever seen. I didn't know if he was an Andalusian or a Frisian, but oh my God, what a horse. I mean, we've all seen these movies and the amazing thing. I mean, riding Zorro into somebody's bed and then jumping him out of the window. I mean, just incredible stuff. How do you learn to teach a horse stuff like this?
You know, I was very lucky. I grew up, in South Africa, and we had one of the largest jumping and dressage bonds there. So I had, I have a lot of different kind of horse experience and background and stuff. And we did commercial and films there, and I got invited to come out here to the U.S., and I was lucky enough to work for and intern for Glenn Randall Sr., who did, Ben-Hur and Trigger, and also then I worked for his son, Corky Randall, who both have unfortunately passed away. But Corky did all of the Black Stallions and all of those films. So I was just very lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And then, it's a lot about also understanding how film works and stuff like that, for our business.
So basically what I'm hearing is it all goes back to the fundamentals. Ladies and gentlemen, do your dressage, get on a fence, start jumping some fences. It all goes back to basics of get on your horse and do some dressage is what it sounds like. Am I right?
Oh, I absolutely. The good basics are always, whenever you have a problem or there's something that you just don't understand or you and your horse don't understand, if you've got good basics, you can always go back and recultivate everything and get everything back.
So let's talk a little bit about the Lone Ranger, because in the previews, it's just haunting and chilling to see Silver up there rearing as he's kind of, I guess, from what I understand, he was loose. And tell us a little bit about the horse that we're going to meet when we go to see the Lone Ranger.
Oh, we were very lucky. He's a great horse. I was lucky enough to do some work with Silver a few years before we did the film. So, it's very difficult on a film like this using white horses. A lot of times on different films, as in Zorro or War Horse, you can cheat a little bit because you can use makeup and color the horses. So you can bring a horse in that has a lot of experience and utilize that. Now, so when, as on the Lone Ranger, with white horses, you can't do that. You cannot color them to be white. It just doesn't look good on screen. The color is not the same. It's more of a yellow. So you really, really have to go and do your homework and do a lot of training. But Silver he has great personality. Really, really interacted with our actors, with Armie Hammer and Johnny Depp. Did so much with them. And he has a lot of personality that I think translates really, really well in the film. And I am very excited to see it. So we'll see what happens.
We've all seen those movies where the gray horse, it goes galloping by, and in one scene he's dappled, the next scene he's flea bitten, and the next scene he's kind of a mix of both. So that's great that you can't really cheat on this one. Now, tell us about the horse.
He's a quarter horse, he has a very pink skin and stuff like that. So, they're in with that, lots of high maintenance, white horses, you got to keep clean and they show every spot anyway, but, lots of sunscreen for him, cause he's very light sensitive and stuff like that. And would sunburn a lot and stuff. So, a lot of it is, white horses, a lot of hard work with them and stuff, but he is very special. I think he's 10 or 11 this year. And really a very patient horse. And again, you know, I think his biggest attribute was that he is very, very patient and has a lot of personality. And, you know, in our business, that is the biggest thing. You know, they have to look good on screen, and they have to really, you know, because we do things so many times over and over again, you know, they have to be patient.
So it sounds like he was a little bit of a diva, needing sunscreen and all sorts of baths and special treatments.
Absolutely, and he sure knew it too. So no, he is, and you know, the more attention that he got, and the more people were around, he definitely, you know, I would say, you know, he knew when we were going to work and when we weren't. So he was really, really good to work with.
Do you have any breed in particular that you find is easier to work with for some of the tricks and some of the things they have to do, or is it individual personality?
You know, it is very individual personality. It very much depends on what kind of film we're doing. But you always, you know, for me personally, I like the Frisians and Andalusians.
And who doesn't, by the way? Who doesn't?
No, exactly. But, you know, they have the look and the presence, and they just look so good on screen. You know, even if they don't do their job 100%, my goodness, they look so good that it kind of covers over sometimes. But, you know, any kind of film that you do, you need to have, no matter what breed you're using, we always have a lot of horses doing one job. And that's why, in that way, we can cover our safety aspects. We never have them tired. And each one does a different job and has a different personality. Some are quieter for our actors. Some are a little more high-strung for action sequences. So you have to be able to get all of the good things. You know, each animal has his better qualities, and that is my job, is to recognize those qualities and bring that to the table, and, you know which horse is good for a particular sequence.
Now, you know, there are a lot of different training methods, and I'm not asking you to give away your secrets here, but is it a positive reinforcement? Is it treat reinforcement? Can you tell us a little bit? That what you use?
I do not use treats. I do use positive reinforcement. And you know, and them being creatures of habit, I just work a lot on finding what they're good at and bringing that out. But you know, working for food and treats, you know, when you work on a film set, everyone's got an apple, everyone's got food, and those things. And it is very difficult, and it is, even though they are interacting with the actors, where in some scenes maybe the actor has to feed him an apple, but that horse still has to pay attention to me as the trainer. So if he's working for food, he's not going to pay attention to me. He's going to pay attention to whoever's feeding
him. He's focusing on one thing.
I lose my faith.
Right.
So no matter what, I'm still in control. So even though he's doing something with the actor, I have to always have that control.
Well, so I have to ask, you know, are you what you would consider a movie buff? Do you like going to the movies? And if so, what is your favorite movie? And if not, is it just a job and you don't really follow Hollywood all that much?
You know, I actually don't follow Hollywood that much. I go see, you know, the special films and things like that. But I really don't. I enjoy the movie business because I enjoy working in it, being kind of creative. And you know, some of the difficult stuff that we do, it is really nice to be able to work with the directors and figure out how to do stuff. And that's what I enjoy most about my job.
Is there one particular animal that you, I know you did also, I noticed Jamie left this out of the credits, Racing Stripes, where you worked with zebras and things. Is there an animal that you worked with that you really, really liked and thought, wow, this is really cool?
I did, Racing Stripes is actually one of my favorite films training-wise because, you know, I was not hired as the zebra trainer going in. I'd worked with the producers and that a lot on different films. So, you know, there were a few little issues and stuff. So they asked me to try and see what we could do. And it was really nice because I wasn't under pressure to actually make it happen. So it was very, very exhilarating having the zebra do all of that stuff loose, because to my knowledge, it had never been done, you know, outside and loose, except, you know, they do it in a circus, which is contained. But doing that outside was very rewarding to me.
So how satisfying is it to sit back and kind of watch on the big screen the finished project of all these little details and nuances that only really you and the people around you that are filming it know about? To sit there and watch it unfold on the big screen must be incredibly rewarding.
It is, you know, and it's more rewarding, you know, just as on The Lone Ranger, you know, Gore Verbinski, our director, was so great to work with, and he was very appreciative of some of the difficult things we did. To me, that is the most rewarding of it. You know, obviously seeing it on the big screen is great, but, you know, when the people that you're working for are very happy with your work and you know, they are the ones, you know, saying that to you, that I appreciate that a lot.
Now, I wanted to ask you real quick, you know, a typical movie like, and I think some people have, you know, we always wonder, a movie like the one that you just finished here that's going to be coming out very shortly, how long will you be on set with the animals? Is it months? Is it weeks? Is it condensed down to days?
You know, it's always, on The Lone Ranger, we had our pre-production was for like 3 months, and then we filmed, my goodness, I think it ended up being about 4 months. Okay. But, you know, it's not every day that you're on there. It's broken up according to the schedule and things like that. And that's why, you know, if we are on set for a very long time, therein we have the horses playing silver, so that, you know, if one's working a lot, you go switch him out, he goes to the trailer. You know, he has his food, his water there and everything. So it's very much keeping them relaxed and happy, because you might work early in the morning and then only late at night again, but you have to be there all day. So it's managing them and also teaching them, you know, to be ready to work at any point, but having them in a good environment.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think, too, you know, we work in a medium in radio where everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's done in order. Movies are not filmed that way, which is a hard concept for us to get our mind around.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and that is what my biggest challenge is a lot of times, is that you might train for something in particular on a certain day, but because of the weather, because of the light, they might not do that at all, and you have to go and film something completely different that you're unprepared for. So, and that is, those circumstances is what you really have to do in your pre-production, is train for those situations. And your horses have to be ready to be able to go and do a different thing. And those are the ones, you know, just as in Silver, being very patient and not worrying about those things. That's what benefits and helps out a lot.
I think it's great that they must see you coming in, and you're such a professional and you've been around this business for so long that the old adage of don't work with kids and animals does not apply to you. I mean, you get the job done, and just like you're talking with the zebra, you were able to make somebody else's animals do cool stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, look, the biggest thing is, you know, in film business, it's always a team effort. And it's really not about me or anything, because, you know, if my part works, but I can't make it work with the electrics, the grips, the camera people, it's no good. So it always has to work as a team effort. And you know, it is truly, for me and our business, it's more about communication with all of the other people than it is the training. Again, it's not just... You know, my job is just a small part of a big, big puzzle. So I have to be aware of what the other people need to do to get the film done as well. And that way, if it works in with my horses, or work it in with my horses, and that allows that job to be easier.
Now, Bobby, before we let you go here, I feel like you and I, we know each other now and we're really good friends. And I feel like I could bring this to the table. I mean, you've worked with celebrities. Let me just go through the list of Johnny Depp, Julia Roberts. These are just the skim of the top. Tobey Maguire, Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Antonio Banderas. You've worked with all of these celebrities. Now, nobody's listening to this part, okay? You can be honest with me. Who are your favorites and who are your least favorites you've worked with? Just you and me.
You know, I can definitely tell you Johnny and Armie Hammer on this film were awesome to work with. I'd love to work with them again, and hopefully, you know, the Lone Ranger goes big and we do many more of them. They were very, very easy to work with. You know, Antonio and them were, you know, on the Zorros was very good. I very, very rarely have any kind of an issue with an actor or actress, you know, because they are depending on me as well to look good. And it's, and a lot of times they, working with animals is a stress relief for them, and it gets them away from their real job of really acting. So we spend a lot of time away from work, writing, doing prep for everything. So it's, I very rarely just, you know, have a problem. So I can't say I have a least. I must say the two that we just did Lone Ranger with were awesome.
Cool.
See, politically correct answer. The current ones are the best. I mean, I wanted some drama, Bobby. Come on. Somebody who didn't tip a waitress. Somebody who, you know, like, had that's what I was looking for. And you're just not good. He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Good, Glenn.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. This has been absolutely terrific. We really appreciate you joining us today. And we can't wait for the movie to come out.
Oh, well, I really hope you guys enjoy it. And it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Okay, Glenn, I got to ask you, by the way, that was so cool. I mean, that was probably the biggest interview we've had. That was awesome.
Yeah, let's remind everybody.
As far as the radio show goes.
Let's remind everybody that was Bobby Lovegren, who was the head wrangler for the Lone Ranger movie and about 1,000 other movies. Cool guy.
Yeah, he's obviously been in involved in everything. But so now I noticed one thing that he said, and I want to ask if you think it would happen. He said, "Hopefully that we'll do many more of these to come." And I was thinking like more of pirates, like Johnny Depp doing the one after another after another. Did they leave an opening at the end for a sequel?
Oh yeah, they almost put a billboard in the desert that said there will be a sequel if you people go out and watch this.
Oh really?
Now, I got to tell you, though, things aren't going well at the box office. It's funny you asked that question because I was just looking it up while you were talking, and Disney estimates a Lone Ranger will sell $45 million for the Wednesday through Sunday the 4th, but the first 2 days, both it was against Despicable Me 2, opened with $39 million, and Lone Ranger was only $11 million for the first 2 days. Despicable Me was triple that. I didn't see the first Despicable Me. Jennifer did. So I don't quite get it other than the little guys are cute in the commercials. But, yeah, it's not opening as well as they thought it would. So we'll see if there's sequels.
Oh, no.
Yeah. $225 million to make this movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they made $11 million.
Yeah, Wednesday it opened to 9.7, and then yesterday it took in like 4. Now, you got to remember, too, a lot of older people are going to see this, so they might not be going out till the weekends. Who knows? But, you know, I kind of think it's gonna do all right, you know, worldwide, but it's not opening to what they thought it would. They thought it would beat Despicable Me. And did you see Despicable Me, by the way?
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait to see the sequel.
I just haven't seen it yet. The little guys look cute. I think they look cute. But yeah, Despicable Me, 3 times Lone Ranger. That's shocking to me. I was really surprised.
Yeah, but this is a family weekend, a family holiday. I think it'll pick up, and also, you know, that's just what people go see. I still think you should go see The Man of Steel before you go see Despicable Me 2.
Okay. You know, which other one I got to see, we want to see this weekend is Monsters University, because I was a big Monsters fan. So I want to go see
that
one.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one.
Yeah, I want to go see that one. You're going to be watching that one with your little boy when he's growing up, that's for sure.
Hey, we did have Disney Pixar is going to might as well get a room in the house as far as right. kids movies.
That's right. One of the comments from one of our listeners was, yes, loved it. Lots of good stunts and good laughs. Not for those serious Lone Ranger fans, though. And I agree with that review. That's all I'm going to say, is that I agree with that.
Really?
But, yeah. But if you're in for, Jennifer, what'd you call it? A popcorn movie? It's a popcorn movie.
It's a popcorn movie, but I disagree. I thought it was faithful to the original TV series.
Yeah, see, Jennifer and I kind of disagreed in that. I thought it went way far away from the original TV series. But then, that was a long time ago.
Did you ever watch the original TV series, Glenn?
Yes, and that was like, but it was like 40 years ago. I mean, so I don't know. I was pretty young when I was watching it. So, anyway, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if I could give you a ideal theme for a Lone Ranger movie. I mean, obviously, the stunts would be nothing of the sort. Obviously, Tonto looks totally different. So I don't know how it could be so close to the original, but I couldn't define the original for you right now anyway.
Well, the original was very 50s. It was, you know, it was what life was back in the 50s and what they were allowed to show on TV in the 50s, which wasn't a lot. So, you know, you couldn't show...
Well, the original was what they call nowadays a blue sky theme. At the end, you feel good.
Yeah.
It's a feel-good movie. And it is not. We can stop talking about it. Stop.
Let's take a break for our title sponsor commercial, which I actually found, Kentucky Performance Products.
Choose Kentucky Performance Product Supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to KPP. This week, I want to speak with you about Elevate Maintenance Powder. This time of year, horses are consuming very little grass and may not be able to get enough natural vitamin E. Horses in rigorous training, seniors, broodmares, and stallions often require additional levels of vitamin E to meet their needs. When you need to supplement with natural vitamin E, choose Elevate Maintenance Powder. Affordable, effective, and research-proven, Elevate Maintenance Powder's vitamin E is nature's most powerful antioxidant, protecting your horse on the cellular level. Elevate Maintenance Powder supports the strong immune system and healthy muscle function necessary for top performance. It's affordable, it's easy to feed, and you can learn more about this and all their other products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Well, Jamie, it's been doing something here that you probably wish you had, and that's it's been pouring down rain, torrential rains every day. We've been getting the afternoon thunderstorms that have just been wicked, and just inches and inches and inches of rain. And when you go out and try and clean the paddocks with the grass here and the inches and inches of rain, you're trying to clean up it's not easy. Let's just put it that way, because the manure has disintegrated. Well, Jennifer came in this morning from the barn, and what did you tell me, Jennifer? What did you see?
I just walked in your office and said, I saw a broken pitchfork in the barn.
Yep, she saw a broken manure fork, and I said, was it an Equity flexin' fork?
No.
So our landlords.
It was one of those El Cheapos.
Yep, our landlords must have been out trying to clean the paddock, and they broke their manure fork. And you know what? I said to her, I said, well, I guess our Equity forks are out there and just fine. And she said, yep, no broken Equity forks. And that's the difference. I mean, they're tough. They really do work. This is the reason that Jamie and Jennifer and I and Helena and the dressage hosts all love them, is because they do work. And you're not going to find the broken ones in your barn. If you do, there's a 13-month warranty on the head. So you can just say, so you can send it back and get a new one. So that's
it won't happen though.
No.
You won't.
You don't have to worry about it. And I do worry about that when you're cleaning the thick grass and trying to get the poop out of the thick grass. You're always worried because that's when you used to break the tines and get caught on a root or a, you know, piece of grass and a break. Don't have to worry about that here. And like I told you before, the usual rule of thumb is if you're cleaning more than 3 stalls a day, get the shaking fork. That's the one that does all the work for you. You press the trigger and it shakes it and it does all the work for you. Jamie is one of those too. And
it's awesome.
It's fun too. And if you're, and mine seems to last longer than he says it's going to last. You know, we don't plug ours in, but like once every couple weeks. And then you also get the flex and fork if you're cleaning less than three stalls or cleaning paddocks. You'll use the flex and fork. You have your choice of tine widths depending on the kind of bedding you're cleaning. So there's lots of different options. Check them out at equitymfg.com. Well, Jamie, it's good to have you back because guess what? It's time for this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing, he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading. To tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It is everybody's favorite way to end the week. That is really bad ads here on Horses in the Morning. And this is the time when listeners submit bad Craigslist ads or other ads that they find that are just a little off kilter from the farm and garden section, mostly about horses, but sometimes not. Jennifer, what is our prize for the winner today?
On today's really bad ads, our prize is the UltraShield Fly Protection Package. As the weather and pest protection needs, your horse's activity level change, so does their need for fly control. With four distinct fly control options, UltraShield EX, UltraShield Red, UltraShield Sport, and my favorite, UltraShield Green, the UltraShield family from Absorbing allows you to rotate your protection across a broad range of conditions. You can look for Absorbing UltraShield fly protection products at your local tack and feed supplier, and you can visit them online at absorbing.com, where, by the way, you can also find downloadable coupons.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is a great package. You get four bottles of this stuff, and, you know, that's
probably summer's worth.
$50 worth right there. So maybe I can win because I, Jamie, found the first one like I usually do. Doesn't usually have anything to do with horses, but it's a lot of fun. This was a really bad ad in Detroit. And it was about an old Subaru that this kid was selling. And in the ad, it was a long ad. I took out parts of it. It says, check engine light has been on for 200,000 miles. My dad put a piece of black electrical tape over it, but it fell off two summers ago, and a bumblebee got stuck to the piece of tape when it was lying on the dashboard and carried it away. That means there's no glass over the thing either.
Oh, my God.
If you're a parent considering buying and fixing up this car for a teenager in your house who imagines they'll use it to go to the local drive-in theater with a cute boy or girl and let their hormones run wild, rest assured, this car is an automotive chastity belt. I mean, look at it. Every part of this car is shaped and styled like the least attractive parts of the human anatomy. The back is too small to lay down in. The rear seats are contorted in such a way as to make lovemaking impossible. The center console is loaded with enough protuberances and jagged edges that necking could lead to a visit to the emergency room. This car is the anti-sex machine. Its pastel paint job and fabric interior dousing any hormonal flames. Trust me on this. I drove this car for 4 years. Your teenager will experience a baffling streak of abstinence when they drive this car, to their frustration and your relief. Also, the car smells like blueberries, has been known to turn vegetarians into meat eaters, and has the Godfather soundtrack stuck in the tape deck. What a rare find. Do you have what it takes to steer this teal, rusty automotive chastity belt previously owned by my hippie parents? There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Glenn, I would have won if you hadn't submitted it. I'm sorry. My dad put a piece of black electrical tape over the check engine light, but now a bumblebee's stuck on the piece of tape. Oh, my God. That is awesome.
The back is too small to lay down in. The rear seats are contorted in such a way as to make lovemaking impossible, which means he tried. That's funny.
I love it. All right. Robin Donahue's sending the next one. Good job, Glenn. Blue eyed exclamation point. Carmelo baby pony colt. Exclamation point.
A pony colt.
A baby pony colt.
It's a Carmelo baby pony colt in the middle of Texas is where this is located. Full date was 5/6/13 exclamation point. Baby stallion, exclamation point. Big baby stallion. Baby stallion, exclamation point. Daddy's slash sire is a 12-hand Welsh-sized Palomino, exclamation point. Yes, I have both parents on premises, exclamation point. Gentle parents, baby has already been haltered and wormed once, exclamation point. Mom is a 13-1 hand Perlino, half passive female, half POA pony, exclamation point. Google Carmelo. You will love the few colors they produce, exclamation point. You will love being able to predict getting a Palomino, exclamation point, question mark. He is Stella's second baby in the last 14 months.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Hold on, that can't be possible. This pony has short gestations, or whatever you call it, cycles.
Seriously, he is Stella's second baby in the last 14 months, and the mommy horse has lost weight with the weather getting hotter. Yes, I am feeding her, but my veterinarian from Waco, Texas, who's an equine professional, says it will be fine to wean the baby at 100 years old. Duh, there are baby humans who never even get to nurse. I will give Bet's name and phone number to you if you buy her in case you need to ask any weaning questions. Cole is already eating and still nursing his dam. You can pay $150 down on him, and then you pay me the rest in cash the day you pick the colt up or the day I bring him to you, $1.25 a mile. He will come broke to lead and load in a trailer and currently current on worming. What was that last part?
How soon do you usually wean a baby? How many? That seems early, I think, which is why she said, oh, some didn't never even get to nurse.
That's a month. Seriously, a month that you don't wean it at a month old. So just because humans don't breastfeed, we have things called formula and bottles.
Yes.
You don't.
What do you think? What read between the lines? They want this baby the heck out of there. This baby's trouble.
Well, and apparently, too, the people have been complaining about the mom being underweight because it's like, oh, my vet says that it's fine. Yeah. She's lost weight.
Yeah, there's more between the lines in that
it
whole story.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beth sent this one in, and you know we've had trades for almost everything, haven't we, Jamie? We've had people wanting to trade appliances and car parts and drugs and just about everything. Well, we got a new one here that we haven't had before.
Okay.
Here we go. We'll trade Bengal kitten for horse, Clarksville, Tennessee. I am a reputable Bengal cat breeder in perfect standing with the TICA, and I'm interested in trading a kitten or two for a horse or two. My kittens range from $600 to $1,200 depending on quality, pet price with spay-neuter agreement, so I am looking for a horse of equal value. I am looking for someone that will basically let me have a horse that will continue to stay on their property so that I can come and ride at any time I want. It needs to be a horse.
Oh my God.
It needs to be a horse that is very easygoing but will get up and go if I ask it to. Also needs to be a horse that won't mind my 2.5-year-old to double ride with me.
Oh my God.
So no spooky horses. I want a horse that has many years of good riding ahead with him or her as well. I would prefer a gated horse for a smoother ride, but that is not an absolute must. I would prefer a paint or Tobiano, but that is not a must either. Needs to be current on everything and have good feet and a good history with farrier services. I have a good friend that will come and inspect any horse that I look at to make sure he's healthy and quality horse, so don't screw me. No, I added that part. Call or text if you have anything that you like or you think I might be interested in.
Oh, okay.
Can we start with what's wrong with this?
You've got to get this number. Yeah, and call and be like, did anybody call you? You have to know. So first, because horse people, number one, need more cats. Number two, you want me to trade you a horse for a cat that is broke and either painful?
Well, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. I think you're thinking that this is a cat. This is a Bengal cat. Is he talking about a tiger?
No, it's got to be. I actually Googled what the TICA
is. Yeah, what is that? Okay.
And that's the international. It doesn't get any cooler than this, people. The International Cat Association.
Oh, right. So this is just a regular cat?
It's a cat. Oh my God. And they want, by the way, we're going to, I'm going to bring my 2.5-year-old, slap her on double, and we're going to ride at your house.
Yes.
We won't sue.
I love that part. I love that part. I want to trade you for a horse, but I don't want the horse. You keep it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Good luck. I want to know if they got any calls at all. There's so much wrong with that. It's my fault.
That's a good one, Beth. That was good catching that one.
Oh, that was good. Good trail horse sent to us by Sorting Cows. That's the email provided. Good trail horse, $700 in Lawrence. Fancy is an unregistered half quarter horse and half thoroughbred, black, dark brown, but fades in the summer. She is 7 years old and
just
15 and a half hands. Yeah, I know, right? She is a good trail horse and will do what you want. She crosses water and mud and goes into Clinton Lake with no problem, but she's more nervous when she comes across new things than our old-timer horse. I've never had her refuse to do anything. She just needs more encouragement or another horse to go first. She is as affectionate as a dog.
I'm going to go pick this horse up. Sounds great rider, so though. Far.
Yeah, but, you know, why do people put that much information in a for sale ad? She needs a more encouragement. Why wouldn't you just sell the horse?
Because of what's coming next.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oh, you're right. Wow, you read that coming in pretty good. She is not for the beginner rider. She needs a strong rider. A pushover will get taken right back to the barn or led where Fancy wants to go. She gets into the trailer just fine. But we've not been using it much, and the last time we did, I had a hard time getting her to back out. She would definitely need a refresher and trailer unloading. She doesn't bite or kick. She stands for the farrier. She's current on shots and deworming. She's had her hooves trimmed. She comes when she's called. You don't have to chase her around the field. She's a sweet horse who absolutely loves people. I don't have time for her anymore. She needs to get home, blah, blah, blah. So basically, this horse will kick your butt.
Yes.
She will take you wherever she wants to go.
She's going to eat every tree on the way. She's going to dump your butt into the river. Yeah, this is going to be a nightmare. And usually horses, you know, I have had horses occasionally have trouble unloading, but usually it's loading where we have the trouble, not unloading. You know, occasionally it depends, I guess.
Yes, that means that the horse really won't unload. Yeah, really.
Because he doesn't like trail riding, which is why he always is heading back to the barn. So, anyway.
He tries to go drown himself in the Clinton Lake.
Thank you, Sorting Cows. Glenn Forrester sent this one in. Help, please, in Fayetteville. In desperate need of a 600-gallon water tank for my horses, so I'm selling a few items to be able to pay for it. First is an English saddle. I don't know anything about it, but I want $150. Oh, geez. Next is a formal gown, 7 or 8, worn once, asking $250. That's the bridesmaid outfit, don't you think? Formal gown worn once. That's always the bridesmaid outfit.
Yeah.
I also have a pair of women's Ariat boots, size 6.5, asking $150. Okay, first of all, that's how much they are
what?
New. Yeah, that's new price. Put that down to $10.
Yeah.
Last is a wedding dress, size 4. Long train, strapless, with a lace-up back, asking $500. Do you think the marriage is over? Just ask. Just curious.
You know what I want to ask? I want to be like, okay, so the formal gown, which is clearly bridesmaid, was worn once. The area boots, you know, worn once. The last is a wedding dress worn twice. That's what I want to see someday. Only worn twice.
I do feel bad for her because the last sentence says, please, I need to sell these to be able to take care of my horses. It's getting hot out and they need more water. So somebody please go buy the
what?
Wedding dress. Just saying. Just buy it. Glenn.
You can't afford water?
Glenn Forrester, go buy the wedding dress. I know you've been married a long time, but go buy it anyway. You have a kid, right? You never know.
It's only been worn twice.
That's right.
There you go.
It's obviously good luck.
Yankee 44 sent this one in. Experienced, sweet, charming paint pony, $700 in mid-Missouri. Mature, very healthy, white bait pony mare, just under 10 hands, 2 blue eyes, experienced to ride and drive. Not a deadhead. Never been bred. Was a little girl's dream pony and pet, driving or riding in parades. Has been so very loved and well cared for. Is accustomed to regular farrier, deworming, run-in barn, from pasture, electric fence, easy cash and halter. Comes to you anywhere. loves attention and grooming, can hug her, rob her, groom her, play with her for self-therapy. She soaks it all in. Waits at gates for you, talks to you across the fence. Along with most equines, she does not like dogs near her. This special pony will only go to a family who will absolutely be attentive to her nutritional and deworming needs. We'll have a safe shelter and an area for her. Yeah, it's a, we'll tell you what that means in a second. Be kind and loving to her. Know how to take care of this equine. No pictures available due to inability to upload. She is as beautiful and lovable as you can imagine. She's worth every penny. By the way, what we didn't tell you is that she has laminitis and it's found her 427 times. Her front feet are on backwards at this point. She can't walk. Oh, bless her little heart. She just likes to be groomed and you can hug her, but that's about it.
That's about it, because she has anytime it says attentive to her nutritional needs, this pony that you just paid $700 for is going to cost you that much every month in supplements and special feed. That's exactly what that means. Oh, geez.
Yep. It's charming, though.
Just under 10 hands. That kid better been little when she was riding it. That's tiny. Wow.
That's like a mini.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor thing. Feel bad for it. Thank you, Yankee. Martha sent this one in. Arabian gelding, $900 in Iron River Township. Very well behaved, very smart. We'll be taking him to the upcoming UP Championship Rodeo Parade if I have time. Gelded professionally by a vet. Well, that's nice to know.
Oh, thank God. That's comforting.
I've never seen an ad that says gelded professionally by my neighbor. Gelded professionally by a vet who has seen him before in Krivitz, Wisconsin. He is up to date in his shots and a sound ride. If you are in doubt or wish to argue that, I'll give you my vet's number and you can call her. Fight it out with a vet. Age roughly 7 years old. Black leather tack that fits him. Everything from bit, head, stall, reins to saddle and saddle pad is also available. 15 blah, blah, blah. I would like to sell him to a new owner who has the time to use him. He's young and full of energy. If you must know, I am a college student who spends more time working and doing school, so I'm selling him to a better home. Pick up only. Okay, Jamie, what's your reading between the lines on that one?
Get this horse out of here. Yes. Seriously, you can have everything that goes with him. Just take him.
Just take him. I'm sick of this horse. But he's up to date on everything. But, you know, you might have a problem or two along the way. This one,
I'm
going to pick up after the show because it's only $80 and it's in Baker, Florida, which has to be somewhere near here. And it's titled, this is from Merrily, something like that. Carl the Donkey, $80 from Baker, Florida. This is Carl the Donkey. He is a great donkey, such a well-tempered donkey. We have had him for almost 2 years, I believe, but feel he needs to go to a home with more land to roam and more attention. He is a 3 years old currently. We want him to go to a great home. He isn't broke to ride yet, but I am positive Carl can be trained given the time and patience. Spelled like hospital patients. He loves my brother, and I will let him get on him and just lay on him. He will nibble on hands sometimes. So you say, Carl! It's not just Carl. It's Carl! He is not noisy at all. He only hee-haws when you're outside and he is wanting food. He does do well around... What?
Which is all the time. Yeah.
Which is all the time. He does do well around our dogs. We have had a hound and Jack Russells. So around other animals, he would be the perfect babysitter for cows. I have never seen him kick either or bucked while my brother was on him. Everyone always says he is a well-mannered donkey. Another thing is this donkey has a cross on his back. It is a part from the lineage of the donkey family that carried Christ. We call him a Jesus donkey.
Oh, my God.
If you are interested, and you should be, because trust me, no other donkey is like Carl, then you may email me or call. Unfortunately, you must provide transportation for Carl, as we do not have a trailer. Okay, just think about this one for a second. Could we have a moment of silence for Carl? Because he's Jesus donkey. Amen. Okay. Go ahead.
Did you say a prayer? Yes. Yeah, I love the fact that they spell it C-A-A-A-A-A-A-R-L.
Carl!
I mean, seriously, they do that. That's awesome. awesome.
Okay, now if anybody, before we go on, if anybody knows that there is a lineage of donkeys that are related back and carried Christ and all that stuff, I want to know, because that's something that we get somebody on the phone about that. Go ahead.
Jennifer, you're a producer, you're on it. Yes. Get on that.
Call somebody. Call the Vatican and find out, all right? Just call.
Genealogy.com, here I come.
Yep.
Yeah, James Worth sending this one. Sweet peas, crazy mixed up free range chicken eggs, $2 in Egaline, Illinois. And you bet your butt I'm gonna do it in Southern accent, even though it's Illinois. My sweet peas, crazy mixed up free range chicken eggs. My 11-year-old daughter's small flock is creating too much overstock, and we're running out of refrigerator space. And Communist Edison is threatening to cut our power on or after the 13th of this month. So they've got to go. We have 10 plus dozen to date of refrigerated eaten eggs in brown, green, and blue colors, and sometimes purple of all various sizes. These eggs are $2 for a dozen. Sweet peas, crazy mixed up chicken eggs. 815-312 Also, this is about 3 days worth of eggs in this old picture, so we'd appreciate an exchange of egg cartons, too. Thanks for looking. So far, if you're looking for eggs to hatch yourself, they cannot be refrigerated or placed on their ends. So please call ahead and place an order. If they are, $3 a dozen. We'd appreciate if you would take a straight run, mix colors as the weather affects the numbers of eggs laid per day at this time. What on earth?
Do you know how many chickens they must have? Do you know how much chickens they must have to fill a refrigerator in 3 days?
Oh, my God. 10 dozen for 3 days. Okay. It's sweet pea. I just see, like, one of those, like, inflatable, wacky, waving arms guys that's, like, outside their farm. Sweet pea, crazy, mixed up free-range chicken eggs. Come on in. Awesome.
Oh, wait a minute here. I lost my place. Hold on 1 second. My screen refreshed. I'll be right back. I'm right here. Give me 2 seconds. You gotta find
I'll do the next one. Do the next one for you. Lani sent in this one. Mini horse for sale or trade in East Tennessee. Oh, God. This is another Southern one. Oh, boy.
Oh, and Leilani was good to you, too, on your first day back. Notice there's a lack of punctuation in this one.
And everything is misspelled and no punctuation. So, mini horse for sale or trade in East Tennessee. I have a mini whore named Brother. He's 5 years old and he broke the halter, but he will let kids ride his back when being keyed. He likes to wear his jingle bells in the winter. He's not broke the cart, but I don't think it would take much. He's sore and has a white patch on his face and sock. He loves his dog. I just don't have time to train him. I'd like to see him used to be pull cart. He's on the big side, 38 inches. He will go with a few halter and brushes. He is gelded. I have his papers, but never sent them in. Make me an offer. I would laud trade for running jet sky or four-wheeler. If you have any questions, DM me. Thank you. Yes, I have questions. I definitely have questions. What the hell?
The mini whore is named Brother, by the way. Just saying.
I know. It's awesome. And he's gelded. So at least he's got that going for him. And he was gelded by a real vet.
I wonder if that's a problem in the country, you know, illicit geldings.
Do the trailer. Yeah. Do the trailer.
Trade or sell, $1. This was sent in by Reba. Oh, geez. I'm going to let you describe it after. Let me read it, okay? Here we go. Reba sent this in. I can't believe they find these trailers. Have a big tandem axle horse trailer for sale or trade. It was given to me to be cut up for scrap, but I have no way of hauling the trailer, period. The title was lost years ago, so I need a bill of sale or a homemade trailer title. It is a gooseneck trailer. Trailer goes on a ball. I don't know the length or size of the trailer, but will fit four horse with ease. Plus, there's storage in the gooseneck. Tires are flat, but pretty sure they can be aired up as a few small holes in the surface rust and needs paint. Wood floor in the trailer is still in really good shape. Wanting to trade for a toy of some sort, open to anything, really just need the trailer gone. Cash price, no less than $500. Oh, my God. For your information, call and leave a message. Okay, Jamie, you cared. Now, first of all, he says there's just some surface rust. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I would like to say what Jennifer said before the show started, and it looks like this trailer was pulled off the bottom of the ocean, which was located next to the Titanic. I love that, Jennifer, because that is exactly the impression that I get with this trailer. And the reason they can't pull it is because if you went to actually pull it, probably it would break in half.
That's right. That's right.
The whole trailer.
The whole trailer. It's sitting on cinder blocks. I mean, there's nothing holding this trailer up but the cinder blocks. It's something
else.
Yeah,
no, this is a disaster.
It's a rusty mess.
This is a disaster. That's awesome. Well, Reba, that is one good trailer. All right, we're going to wrap this up here. The last one is Mary sent this one in. It's a Project Gilding. Oh, God. Anytime it says project in the title, you're going to get your something. You're going to something is going to break. Your arm, yes. Or something. Project Gilding. The good. Papered, well-trained, good on trails, crosses water and logs, load, leads, ties, well-gated. The bad. Recently became attached to our mare, and I consider him extremely herd sour now. Would need to be kept with geldings for best result or ridden with a partner. Never showed any issues regarding separation besides looking backwards while being ridden away. A few days ago, he decided it was a grand idea to crow hop when the other horses started walking away. So, with that behavior, I can only sell him now as a project. I did not come off of him, but it was not for lack of try on the horse's part. Also, oh my God, he's also under the bad section. He also isn't very pretty to look at. He looks kind of like a camel. He looks kind of like a camel, but it's pretty sooty buckskin with socks. I'm happy to show the horse under saddle, but you must transport, so please call for further information. I wouldn't call him well-trained if he's bucking you off, and that's a lot more bad than good.
Yeah, that is one butt-ugly horse. Wow. Whew. It's the reason this woman only wants $275 for this horse is because nobody's going to pay any more than that. All right, we need to have a winner of the Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package of four bottles of Ultra Shield, Ultra Shield EX, Ultra Shield Red, Ultra Shield Sport, and Ultra Shield Green. Fantastic prize. Jamie, who is the winner?
All right, I'm going to give you some choices here. Obviously, Martha with the gelded professionally by a vet.
I got
thank God. Then we've got
hold it, stop
the,
right there.
What
I got to go with that one. We have never had that in an ad before. It's just, that's, and you know.
I know, but.
Okay, go ahead.
We've got some other ones, and right. I need Jennifer's opinion, too, because we've got Sweet Peas Crazy Mixed Up Fragrance Chicken Eggs. And have we ever had anybody try to trade a kitten for a horse?
No, that
I mean,
is strong.
That one
this
was
is so hard.
Jennifer, I'm going with professionally gilded.
Looks like it's.
Yeah, I'm going professionally gilded.
Do you know how much mileage we're going to get out
all
of that
right,
on
then.
The show from now on? We're going to get a ton of mileage out
that's
of that.
That's true. That's true. So I did like the bending power and the chicken eggs, but if you guys are going with it, all right. Martha Kors, you have won. Congratulations. You are the winner of the Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package. Hopefully you have horses. You got four whole bottles, which is really like probably an $80 value of Ultra Shield. You have the EX, the Red, the Sport, and the Green. The Ultra Shield family is here to help you. You can find Absorbing Ultra Shield Fly Protection at your local tech and feed supplier or visit them at absorbing.com where you can find coupons as well. Congratulations, Martha. Good show, Glenn.
Good show, Jamie. Was it fun to do really bad ads again? You probably missed it, didn't you?
I missed it so much, and I haven't bought anything on Craigslist since I went off the air and stopped looking for really bad ads.
That's probably a good thing. Now you're going to be looking in the children's section. You won't have time.
Yeah, boy. I'll start sending you bad ones of those.
Yeah, do that. Do that. That should be funny. I'm sure there's just as many. Well, thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget the Battlecast. Go to horseradionetwork.com. Click on the banner in the middle of the page. On Sunday, have a little party and watch the Gettysburg reenactment battle with 800 horses involved. And that's about it for the weekend. You have a terrific weekend, everybody. And Jamie, enjoy your weekend with the family.
Thank you very much, sister-in-law, coming in today. Woo! Seeing family.
Go see the movie.
I love. Awesome.
Go see the movie.
I'm going.
All right.
All right. Stay neuter and geld, people. By a professional. Geld by a vet.
Thank you for all your help this week, Jennifer.